Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Super Sumo Brothers podcast, brought to you by Strong Zero. No, not really.
I have to imagine, though.
But
the unofficial sponsor.
Can we get unofficially sponsored by Strong Zero? Anyway, I'm here with Andrew, my brother, as per the usual. Mm-hmm. And looks like we got another. Before we go into it, I will say spoilers, obviously. If you haven't watched, I know this episode's probably going up before some people may have seen the last few days. So if you want to stop listening now. But Takakesho, takakaking it home.
Yeah, no, he did. He definitely took it home. Which leads into the conversation that I think people have been asking for a while is like, are we looking at a possible Yokozuna promotion? I think some people are still skeptical, and we've talked about this a couple times in previous episodes about who's there and who's he's fighting matters a lot in these decisions. Like obviously Hakuho and Kakaru were both completely out of it for the entire tournament. So do you put an asterisk next to it and say, does it actually matter if, you know, you're both your Yokozuna are not there and you win?
Yeah, and like you were saying right before we started, it seems like some people feel as though that one shouldn't matter.
Yeah, and you know, we've had we've had discussions, and you know, a lot of the information that we get from Japan, I get a lot of it translated from @SumoFollower on Twitter. He does a lot of Japan to English translations, and I found this pretty fascinating that the former prime minister actually came out and essentially said that, you know, he congratulated Takakesho on winning the Basho because that's the right thing to do. He took the Yusho, you know, it's his second championship. So there's nothing we can't take that away from him. However, you know, both of your Yokozuna were out, you know, Asanoyama and Shodai both pulled out with injuries. So that left Takakesho as the top ranked guy. And I don't want to take anything away from Taro Nofuji because he had a great tournament. Obviously, they got in that playoff and Taro Nofuji beat Takakesho, and then Takakesho went back to what he knew. But yeah, the prime minister just added that, you know, his knees are clearly banged up and, you know, did he really get great competition? I don't know. I kind of agree with him, and, you know, who he fights matters, but I don't want to take anything away from him because we could be getting to the point where the Yokozuna almost don't matter at this point because they're out so often that it's like, who's now the guy to beat? And if you beat him, is it worth it?
Yeah. And I feel like guys like Mataki Umi or, Hokuto Fuji or Daisho, like those guys would probably be pretty offended by saying that, you know, their losses to Takakesho, you know, or just because he was, you know, I don't know. I would take offense to that. Like, do you think I'm a pushover? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And there was some, I mean, a lot of the guys that he ended up facing, like he faced Takayasu, who was a former Ozeki. So, you know, that's hard in itself to face someone who's was or is at your own rank. You know, he did. Yeah. He beat Mataki Yumi on day 14 and then he lost and beat Taro Nofuji on day 15. I don't know. I would also feel insulted because like even like Magashir, like you're still fighting some decent guys up there, but
and like guys like Daisho are like they play spoiler all the time. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, he's like the giant killer essentially in my eyes in the last few tournaments. Like, you know, if anyone could have thrown a wrench in that gear.
Yeah, because Daisho did that with quite a few people that tournament. He played spoiler for a few guys. He beat Hokuto Fuji on day 3, which in the long run that ended up being a spoiler. You know, mm-hmm. He beat Takayasu, who's wasn't really competing for much. Or he lost to Takayasu, lost to Hokuto Fuji, my apologies. He beat Taro Nofuji, and that's what I was looking for. Yeah, he like played spoiler for Taro Nofuji on day 8.
Yeah.
Daisho was definitely playing spoiler. But yeah, you can't take that away from a guy who know, who won the botch. So,
yeah. And like, again, I feel like it's not like he's like just became Ozeki too. You know what I mean? Like he's been there a while. So like, I feel like it's kind of hard to just be like, oh, well, it's all a fluke. You know, like,
yeah,
he's had to fight the Yokozuna plenty of times before this one, you know?
Yeah. Like, and he's got, so he started in May of 2019 as an Ozeki. And then he 3-4-8 then he pulled out the next tournament completely. And then he was actually sent down to Sekiwake where you have to win at least 10 to get back up. And he won 12. And then since then, like the last two tournaments, he's absolutely been tearing it up. Came really close to winning it in September. He came in second, 12-3. And then this tournament, he was 13-2. But yeah, I mean, you talk about either a runner-up performance that's really, really good or a win in January. And I don't necessarily say, I don't want to say it's a guarantee because I think so many people are going to look like, did Hakuhu compete? You know, did Kakaru compete? Which my answer to Kakaru is going to be a no. For Hakuhu, it's probably going to be a forced yes. Which I want him in there. But yeah, maybe it's not a guarantee because there's only been a handful. The last two Ozekis who've won back to back have gone on to become Yokozuna the next tournament. So that was obviously Hakuhō who did that. And then Haruma Fuji did it after him where he actually went 30-0 over two Bashos to go into becoming a Yokozuna.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see if Takayasu or Takakesho does win if they don't promote him when they've done that before in the past. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you gotta at least consider it, especially with at least with how shaky Kakaru is in like his future there. Like, and again, it's about filling seats right now. I feel like more than ever, you know, and if you got an Ozeki that appears promising and is fun to watch, like he's not like the most exciting guy to watch, but he's super technical. I got to imagine like a lot of, at least I feel like super technical. But like, I feel like, you know, he's no like Endo, you know what I mean? He's not, you know, like a fan favorite in that regard, but I feel like the old school kind of sumo community, you know, from my very little knowledge of what that would be, would be into him. You know what I mean? He's not one of these youngsters coming up and breaking all the traditions and, you know, being all crazy. He's very like, this is sumo and I'm, you know, I'm square to the, you know, I love the way he kind of defends the middle of the ring. You know, he squares up and keeps people to the outside. And, you know, some guys like Tobizaru, for example, especially, we'll get into him in a bit. But you don't see him like flailing or like, I don't know. He's very just put together.
Yeah. So I was just curious because I didn't realize how young Takakesho was. He's only 24.
Yeah, I mean,
if you could picture him, and that, like, that's the hard thing. If you're him, it's like, so even if another great resource, Kristen, when we talked about this last episode, had a little bit of coverage on Takakesho, and apparently when he was younger, he was made fun of for his height because he's actually 173 centimeters, which is only 5'3". And if he does become a Yokozuna, and I took a look at this, he'll actually be the second shortest Yokozuna of all time, or at least dating back to 1910. So he's got all this motivation in his head. Like, people have said, like, you can't do it. Like, why would you even try and strive to be a Yokozuna? Like,
you know. Yeah, and by young, I didn't necessarily mean his age. Just not to clarify for you, but to clarify for anyone listening. But I meant it more in that, like, he doesn't, I feel like the fighters coming up now that are maybe new to the Makuuchi, that's probably a better way to think about it. Like, guys that are new to the top division, they seem to be more flaily. They seem to be more, like,
they're
jumping around and, like they're kind of like Hakuhō in that they're good at like one thing, but like Kakuhō is very technical. So they pick like one of the technical things to do and they just kind of like overdo it. Whereas Takakesho, I feel like, is really balanced. And he can switch gears like a Hakuhō, but like, he's not going to like all of a sudden start doing like face slapping techniques mid fight.
Yeah.
He appears to me more of like an adaptive fighter. Like if something starts, like if somebody gets in his, you know, trying to get him out of his wheelhouse, for example, I feel like he adjusts really well without changing too much. Whereas like we've seen Hakuho go, you know, total 360 mm-hmm. or, you know, 180 rather, and completely switch up his technique mid fight. And that's why he's so good. But
yeah. And I think Takakesha has a very particular kind of fighting style, where if he gets it going like his way, he's going to mm-hmm. beat you. And I think when he was facing Taranofuji, like he looked good like the entire tournament. And then when he faced Taranofuji, it was pretty competitive, but he looked bad.
Yeah.
He took the first loss to make it go into a playoff. Like I was like, wow, Taranofuji just kind of manhandled you. It's not like Taranofuji did anything that was different, you know, in the approach.
I think Taranofuji was just super intimidating in that tournament.
That's what
I saw him pick up and toss a few people.
The way he lifts people, because he did it with Toby Zaru, where mm-hmm. he picked him up and I was like, how did you not dislocate his shoulders? Like he like gets his arms under there and he just picks him up and he like squeezes them. And then I'm like, dude, one of these days you're just going to snap a guy's shoulder out of place.
Yeah. That was like, yeah. And it's like, it's kind of freakish in like a Tochinoshin kind of way. Which kind of worries me a bit. Just to go on the record, I don't feel as though Tochinoshin has been 100% legit in terms of his like his recovery and his he had like a quick kind of rise and a pretty quick fall, I feel like. Yeah. And you know, like these guys with these crazy injuries in sumo, and like I don't blame them either. You know, I mean, I'm not like holding it against people or saying they're cheating or anything. It's just like you could stay in the senyaku division if you, you know, you juice a little bit and, you know, like, and no one's going to find out because clearly they're not going to be super testing about things right now.
Yeah, they're probably not. Yeah. And that kind of goes back to, so the prime minister who I commented on earlier also made a comment about,
it's the former prime minister you said, right?
Oh yes. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. The former prime minister of Japan. And let me actually get his name too, because there's been a couple, former prime minister, Hatoyama Yukio. Hatoyama Yukio. He also said that maybe moving the tournaments from 6 a year to 4. Because, I mean, all you're really doing is you're sending these guys out with these awful injuries and expecting them to perform a month and a half later. Like some of these injuries, like you see in sports, like in NHL or, you know, NFL, and it's like, that's season ending, or it's even like, you know, like 2 or 3 months of recovery, and then the expectation is like, oh no, it's like, imagine if you get hurt in the NFL and then you got demoted down to like the farm system of the NFL, which they don't have one, but like that'd be punishing.
I think they got to lose these like random exhibitions in between tournaments. Mm-hmm. I don't think having only 4 tournaments a year is the answer. I think you come up with some system like a loser's bracket or something. Like maybe like if you're injured for some period of time, they have like a separate, I don't know, maybe there's like a day 16 or something where everyone fights and like everybody who's been injured or sat out the last tournament fights. And then you get like placed at like, I don't know, some like sub rank of where you were before.
Could be interesting.
Like if you're Magashira 1, you get hurt and you have to like pull out of the tournament, that enters you into like, I don't know, this loser's day, we'll call it. And, if you win, you know, you don't get demoted all the way down the rank or something. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, like you get the, like, even like keep your rank could be, it's like something like that would be interesting. It'd put like a new twist on ranking where it was like, they have this between tournament. Like even if it's like a quick, like 5 match.
Yeah. Like a 1 day, like, yeah. I mean, again, we're trying to avoid them getting hurt, but that's like, true.
Yeah.
I mean, and making them fight maybe an extra day is not the greatest idea, but I feel like you have to do something like, because the fear of losing your rank and your income mm-hmm. is, I guarantee you, it's making guys you know, if they're not juicing, then like they're gambling with the rest of their career, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or even if they aren't juicing, you know what I mean, it's like, if I don't show up for this fight even though I have a torn, you know, ACL, like I'm gonna lose my income. And it's like, especially over there, you know, it's like dishonorable. And and it goes along with just like the culture of Japan too. So mm-hmm. I don't know, it's like twice as hard as it would be here, I would imagine.
Yeah, I forget which wrestler had it, but one, I forget who, his shoulder was taped up like significantly, and I thought I had noted it. But it's like one of those things where, like, you can clearly see he's injured, and he's just trying to get through. And I think he finished with a good record, and I forget who it was because I was impressed.
I have it here. I'm just looking through my notes because they did like a little segment on him too on NHK.
Did they?
I'm trying to remember his name because like I've seen him around a bunch, but I never like really took note. It's a Chiyo Nakuni.
Yeah.
They did like a little segment on him. Yeah, there it is. And but yeah, he just like he reminds me a lot of like Kota Shigeki and how his like post fight stuff kind of is, you know, like. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kota Shigeki, you know, always offered a hand if, like, he felt like he was maybe a little too rough near the edge, or like if someone had a problem getting up, and they never take it, like whoever's down, like they never accept the help to get up. But like, yeah, like you think he would be fighting or not fighting if he had the choice? Like, you got a 10-5 this tournament. What if he chose to not fight this tournament, kept his rank? Because yeah, obviously he's fighting because he's Magashira 14. Mm-hmm. He pulls out, he's down in Juryo. See you later. So, bandage me the hell up and, you know, do what you got to do to get me back in there.
And especially since Chinokuni's climb has been really good, because he was in Magashira, he got dropped down to Juryo, then Makushita, and he was Magashita 46 September of last year. So he went from Magashita 46 and then climbed, went 3-4, 3-4, 3-4, and then won the Makushita Yusho, then won the Juryo Yusho, and then just put up a 10-5. So like he's already dropped down where he's like, I've been injured before, and now I know I'm gonna have to just keep fighting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if there was some other way for injuries to be less crippling, then I mean, because like even look at like Koto Yuki, for example. Like
I'm gonna let you finish now. But there's no good way to do this. So my headset's about to die, so I'm just gonna swap my battery out. You can keep talking though.
Okay. But yeah, so Koto Yuki, for example, he'll be Magashira 15. He was 0-0-15. If there was a way for him to preserve that record or something else with the injury, because he could drop down to Juryo 12 or 13, and then all of a sudden, like you're talking about him having a bad tournament, he's down in Makushita because of an injury.
Yeah, it's again, it's not fair to, and again, he's such a good dude, like, you know, like just seems like a nice guy, and it sucks that like you have to make a choice like that in that sport. And
yeah, I mean, like
I don't think the answer is less tournaments, because you already have a problem with the following. And even, you know, even for me, I feel like sometimes I get a little disinterested, which is a double-edged sword, in that like it gets me excited again every time it comes back, but I do kind of just forget about the sport after a while, you know.
I think
you can't get a casual fan.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Like, if you had it every 3 months, so we're talking about like March, June, like September and December, I think would make sense. Like I don't know, I just feel like that'd be weird. And but yeah, like, and I think that's why I love sumo so much, is it's that like you get a month of sumo, and then you get a month of like news and other things, and then it's a month back of like sumo, and it's all year too. Like with the NHL, it's like, you know, 9 out of 12 months. NFL's like 5 out of 12 or whatever. Like sumo's all year long. And I don't think I'd be completely uninterested, but I would start to dwindle a little bit if it was like every 3 months rather than every other month right now.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't think less tournaments is the answer, but.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's there's something to be said there about figuring out injuries. That's the center point of, I'm sure, what he was getting at, is like, we want the best entertainment and we're not quite getting it if people aren't there. Like Hakuho and Kakaru not being there, you're not getting the best in show.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. That's like if, you know, you were watching the UFC and you know, up until a week before, you know, UFC 65,000, mm-hmm. You know, you had your two big fighters and then like your top two, your two yeah. title matches, and they both pull out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's like, then all of a yeah. sudden your pay-per-view is.
It's funny that you bring up UFC, because I actually had a note here. I don't know if there was on day 13, Toby Zaru went against Takayasu. Mm-hmm. And I'm always surprised that there's no, you know, more trips or more lower body moves. But I don't know if you caught it, but like Toby Zaru was kicking Takayasu
yep.
right in the side of the ankle. And I was like, that's so UFC. Like,
yeah, he dropped him so quick on that yeah. kick too.
And he hit him like twice, where I was like, this feels like UFC. Like you're just trying to, it wasn't like maliciously kicking, but it was like, yeah. that's uncomfortable because I'm not used to it.
Yeah. Like he got him like right in the ankle.
Oh
like,
yeah. Like you could twice. Hear it. You're like, yeah. Oh yeah. no.
And he went right down too.
Yeah. Like, the second one. Yeah. He just went like flat face first down. I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen that one. So,
and that's what makes like, so we're going to talk about Toby Zaru and Waka Tucker Kage now, because mm-hmm. I feel like they perform so much better once they already had their eight losses, you know?
Yeah. Once,
like it was like,
once the pressure was off and it's like, well, I'm yeah. getting demoted now. I'm just trying to mm-hmm. figure out like how bad it's going to be.
It's like, they just went back to like the way they were the last tournament. I felt like, I mean, Waka Tucker Kage. Yeah. He was, let's see, 2-6
and one of them
going into yeah. day 10, then yep. he beat 5 in a row, like to break even almost, like
yeah, like his first half, and there was like a lot of guys who did that, but yeah, like so Waka Tucker Kage's first eight, he got Nakabe was a win, day 3 was a walkover win, I forget who pulled out. And then, but yeah, then he goes on a tear for like the last 5, where it was like, oh, well, he already knew he was getting a losing record, because at that time he was 2-8. Yeah, he was 2-8.
Yeah, yeah. He was already out. Like, so he was like, whatever, I'm going to go back to the way. Like, you could tell it was like head games. Like, he was in his own head.
And I was expecting him, when he was 2-8, I was like, this is a bad record. Because 7-8, you're probably going to go down to like my share of 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he salvaged his fall with a 7-8.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's just because he already knew. I mean, now that he's had a lick of what's going on up there, maybe mm-hmm. he changes his style and he's like, oh wow, this is harder than I thought, maybe. I don't know.
And Toby Zaru too, like he is not, it's his record isn't as glimmering in the last 5 days as Waka Tucker Kage's, but like same thing. He had more wins in the last 5 days than he had, or at least the same amount of wins in the last 5 days than he had in the first 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. like up until he had his 8 losses, he, mm-hmm. he, and then I don't know. It was like, I mean, obviously you can lose to Terunofuji. Fuji. That was his loss on day 10.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of his fights were pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah, he like, they were just flailing around a bunch in the first 8 days, both of them. I feel like it was like newbie kind of, I don't know. I'm curious to, I'm going to watch out for that more often now and just kind of mm-hmm. see if the, we'll say the lesser experienced fighters, once they get up near the Senyaku, like how their fighting styles change a bit.
Yeah, because we had four guys in the top 4 ranks that were new to their rank. So Waka Tucker Kage was new, Kiribayama, who was 3-12, looked really bad. Kagayaki, who I needed him to run the gambit on the last 3 days. He needed to win in order for me to get my bingo. From another sumo podcast, does bingo. And I was like, oh, I hope Kagayaki can get his 3 wins. And then I was like, that's being too hopeful at this point. He finished with a 5-10, but he was at a new career high. And same thing with Toby Zaru and Koto Shoho was, so going 5 in the top 5 ranks.
Yeah.
We're all new. And I think only one of them finished with a winning record. Yeah. Koto Shoho was the only one to finish with a winning record out of the top 5 new guys who were up there.
Yeah. Koto Shoho looked pretty good too.
He looked good. I think his last day, the fight that he had against, I was going to pull it up real quick. It was closer than it actually was, because it was, yeah, it was against Daisho. And I thought, for some reason, maybe it's just because, you know, obviously he's a Sadagatake guy and we're big fans. But like, mm-hmm. I looked at that, I was like, did Daisho's hand hit before he fell down and he kind of got twisted? And I don't know.
Yeah. There were.
I mean,
there
he
were,
still finished with 8-7, so I'm going to take that.
And Kota Nowaka was, you know, pretty did pretty well too. I mean, market share 14, so take it for what it is. But 7-8, still pretty good. I feel like it's enough to keep him up in the Magashira ranks. And go again.
Yeah, he'll probably be about 15. And like I said, when it's just a one win difference, it's typically just a drop in one drop in rank. So he'll go down to 15. And what I'm actually interested is I, as opposed to last tournament when there was a lot of guys who dropped down and I felt like a lot of new guys came up, not necessarily new in that they were new to the division, but that they were new to November tournament rather than September. Is I don't know how much flexibility there's going to be in calling people up from Juryo, because I don't see a lot of guys down at the bottom of the Banzuke who are going to drop down in the Juryo.
Yeah, it looks like almost.
Like Kotoyuki's the given. Enho has a chance at 3-12. He's at 11, so I don't know if he's going to be like a fan favorite, and maybe they stick him at 17 or something like that, just to kind of keep him around.
I got some words for Enho or two after this, but
get good. But yeah, so like I don't know what they're going to do down there, because the top of the division in Juryo was pretty good. Obviously, Mita Rofuji, he took the Yusho. He was 10-5, so he'll be a given. Ishiura probably he could get the call up. Akiseyama, who I think is going to be new to the division, will get a call up too. But like I don't know. There's not a lot of flexibility down there.
Because like I mean, then you got to think about guys that need to drop down still. Like Kaisei is going down a few ranks. But the tough part is almost everybody around him. Like I would actually not be super surprised if Kota Nowaka doesn't move. If he stays at 14.
Yeah, I could totally see him staying there.
Because I feel like you got to drop. I mean, or maybe you take Kota Nowaka, you drop him down to Magashira 15 and put Kaisei there in 14.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to end up being. But, like, there's no one, like, even, like, Yatakeyama, who was 6-9 at Magashira 12. Like, that's not Juryo demotion. Sadanomi at 11, 5-10 borderline.
Yeah, Sadanomi, yeah. Like, I think you drop Enho down to, yeah. See, that would be tough. Just put him in Juryo.
Yeah,
I feel like that's you got to give him 17. But Shimano Umi did so well. Like you, I mean, so he's going. Like, do you just swap those two in the position there? Do you move Shimano Umi up to 11 and take Enho down? I guess I don't know. Or maybe we'll see Magashira 18s. Maybe.
Yeah, it'd be. It'd be interesting to see an 18 because I hadn't seen a 17 before, at least that I could remember. And then we've had, I think this like entire year has been all market share of 17s. I think that's just because the uneven balance of the bonds. Okay. But
yeah.
So if they called up an 18, it would be interesting to, I'd have to figure out the last time there wasn't a market share 18, but yeah, cause there's a couple guys in Juryo that they're going to have to figure out room for. And like I said, it'll probably be Ishiura, Mita Rofuji, and Akiseyama will be the three guys that get called up.
Yeah, and Mataki Umi's performance was super disappointing to kind of jump around a little bit.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
Such a huge
stretch, too, of him just losing.
Like, and it's so disappointing because he has two Yushos.
Mm-hmm.
But he has almost nothing else to show for it. Like Takakesho is at least at an Ozaki. He just got his second Yusho. It's so hard because it's like, Matakiyomi had a great first half. I mean, his first half, he was 5-2 in the first 7 days and then lost 6 of his last 7.
Yeah, it was bad. He was looking really good the first half.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe this is the tournament that he does something. And it unfortunately wasn't.
Yep. Well, it was good to see Takeyasu at least get 8-7 there. That was good.
Yeah, I was pulling for him. you know, he's not on a Nozeki run, so if that was his hopes, he'll have to start next tournament.
Yeah. Takeyasu seems, he's another guy who just seems like a pretty good dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I want him to do well. He's just, it's so disappointing because I think he has winning capabilities. He just hasn't been able to put it together.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's ever been, let's see, a runner-up. He was a runner-up four times previously with 12-3 records. I'm guessing in those years we're probably like Hakuho wins probably. Mm. But yeah, he's had a stretch there where he had a good chance to win a couple times and just couldn't do it. But yeah, he's I'm just happy he got 8-7 because he'll, I expect that entire Sekiwake and Komatsubi structure to just kind of rotate.
Yeah, Matakiyumi will move down to Komatsubi. Tarnafuji move up to Sekiwake.
Yep, east. But then 13-2. Takanoshi probably stays put.
Yeah, moves to the west. Or and rather the, yeah.
East, yeah, he stays in the west. And then, yeah, Takayasu moves Sekiwake, or Komatsubi east.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll probably have the same Senyaku, have, but you're going to have two Karoban, mm-hmm. Ozeki.
Yep.
See, but again, now this goes back to the whole injury discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, of course they're both going to come back and fight.
Mm-hmm. They have to.
But if it was bad enough, like, would you? Like, if you could, if you still had, like, I mean, at least the farthest they can drop down is Sekiwake Komatsubi, right? That's the rule for the most part.
They can only go down one rank, and they become Osekiwake,
I think. Osekiwake, yeah, that's right.
Ozekiwake is what we call it.
Yeah,
it's that you have 10, you have to get 10 wins in order to get promoted back up into Ozeki. While as an Ozeki, all you have to do is get 8 wins to keep your rank. So if they can at least come out and get their 8 wins and then pull out, at least it guarantees that they come back in March, which will be back in Osaka.
Yeah, it's cool that they're trying to get things back out again, even though it's
5 months out. We'll see if they actually, as things get closer, if it's actually back in Osaka.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, like you know, Shirai is coming off the ankle injury. We'll see how he performs. He started with 3 wins and then got hurt in 4 and then had to pull on 5, and then he was out for the rest of it.
I feel like an ankle injury too has to be like one of the more detrimental injuries in sumo too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a tiny bone holding up like so much weight.
Yeah, and the way he fell on it was awkward too. Where I thought there might have been a chance that he came back, but maybe it was just that, hey, you know, all you have to do is come back next tournament. Let's just take the time off, get your 8 wins, come back healthy.
Mm.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, as a professional ankle roller,
You
know, I
not pleasant.
I cannot. I don't think I would be able to be fully functional, or at least get it out of my head that. I mean, I guess in terms of like horrific injuries, it's not that horrific.
No,
like tearing an ACL or an MCL is like that's a level of dislocating your shoulder or something, like that's levels of pain that you don't even want to think about.
Yeah.
Like busting an ankle. I mean, I've fractured my ankle before and things like that. It's horrible, but it's a little gruesome, but it's not nearly as bad as the pain that I have been told about with ACL and MCLs.
Yeah. Like, I've dislocated my shoulder and it's not as bad, I'm sure, as, you know, tearing your ACL and MCL and all the ligaments in your leg. It's like,
Your biceps too. I hear like tearing bicep muscles is like agonizingly painful.
Yeah. I think Takayasu had that injury either earlier this year or like late last year. Mm-hmm. I think he pulled out with a bicep injury. He pulled out, and I think that was the beginning of his downfall when he was Ozeki. He was 0-15, 3-5-7, 6-9 at Sekiwake, and then he's gone down and came back up. But yeah, so I think he had a bicep injury and he was trying to fight through it.
And we say all the time that sumo is a very mental sport, so I'm sure injuries kind of
play
into that pretty heavily.
Yeah, like with a muscle, like that's just going to be the worst. Like a bone is one thing, I feel like, where it's like an ankle sprain or like you break your ankle, but like tearing a ligament and then having a, no thanks.
Yeah, and Masataka Yumi, too, to go back to that. And again, I'm only bringing it up because maybe he was injured or not feeling well or something, but he just looked gassed. By day 13, he was done.
Yeah.
Like, it was, there was no chance of him getting his 8 wins at that point in my mind. He was, he checked out, which was really weird for him. I don't know if he's like, maybe experiencing a little frustration now. Like,
he's got to be.
He gets so close up there and then just can't. Just has a bad string. Like, it just seems like maybe one or two bad fights and then he just kind of spirals down.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he'll just end up being like a professional lower senyaku fighter.
Yeah,
because that's kind of where he's been looking at. But he's only pulled out with injuries 5 times since he got called up in 2015, and he's been in Akuchi since then. He's only pulled out 5 times with injuries.
And it almost just looked like fatigue, actually. In my notes, I put, like, ill / hurt. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, he didn't look like he was feeling very good. It just looked really tired. Which is not, like, you know, he's not usually, like, a super peppy guy, I don't feel like. But, like, he's got a little more jump in his step. And he when he was losing, he was just, like, just walk off, you know, stroll down the tunnel. He's just, I don't know. It just seemed like something was off with him that wasn't necessarily injury related, but I wouldn't be surprised if something was there.
Mm.
But let's talk about Mr. Enho and his ridiculousness. I mean, I'm all for being weird and bringing some you know, so a different light to the sport, being the Happy Gilmore, we'll say, of sumo. But what he was doing was just ridiculous at times.
Yeah, and he was doing that the first 8 days too. Like I said, like the Kaisei like leapfrog on day 2 or 3 was just like, even that early, I was like, that's kind of a desperate move to try something so ridiculous.
It's and then there was like the day where he didn't even there was no tachi eye. Like I didn't know you could do that.
Like okay.
He just stood there. And I was like, like what? Like, and then I mean he gets guys like the bigger guys, like, yeah, sure, that's easy enough. But like he grabs, you know, Oyama's leg and brings him down. You know, like that's I'm not saying that's a cheap move or anything. It's the right strategy, but it's just like it was almost like he just kind of gave up and was like, I'm just going to try crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't feel like that. Like, you're not going to stay in the upper ranks doing that.
No, he was. And I mentioned this last time that maybe just there's so much pressure on him because with Hakuho gone, he's like the head of the stable and he was like, I just need to win. And he just was in his own head.
It didn't even feel like it was in his own head, though. Like, he clearly was just experimenting, I feel like. I don't know. He was, like, jumping all over the place and, like, I mean, I get you're trying to do whatever it is you can do to win. But it just didn't even look professional. It looked super amateur. Like, because I remember there was a bit one of the jumping henka things he tried to do on the tachi eye. They showed someone doing it well.
Yeah.
Like what he was trying to do. And then they showed what he did. And it's like, did you just like watch? It's like, I don't know, if I watched a video before I went in the ring and then tried to recreate it. You know what I mean? It's like, it just felt so amateur.
Yeah. I don't, because he also, and I'm always wondering how superstitious they are with the color of their mwashi. Like changing it halfway through always seems like, it's like, oh, you're trying to change something. Because he ended up doing that. I think it was either, I might not have noticed on day 9, but definitely on day 10. He switched back to his maroon or the red mwashi versus what he was wearing before, and I forget what color it was, but I remember him switching it up, and I was like, oh, wow, he switched up, and he won, so maybe he is going to go on some kind of tear now and win, you know, 4 matches out of the last 8 or something compared to what he was the first 8 days. But yeah, the changing mwashi didn't really help him.
No. Yeah, and losing the first 8 days
in a row is
pretty brutal.
Yeah, and you know, maybe he's another guy who might have looked kind of banged up, because I forget on day 11 who he was facing. I'll pull it up real quick, but he was in the match and I think he got out of it and was looking kind of lame afterwards against Sadanomi. So I don't know, maybe he battled an injury the last couple of days, because he got two wins and then he won 9 and 10 and then was hurt 11, and then he only won one after that. So I don't know. Maybe he does this. Maybe what could be best for him is just a demotion down to jury. Oh, hey, go fight some guys who are, you know, borderline retirement. Maybe some new guys that are down there. Like,
yeah, I feel like Jurio is where you're kind of supposed to, like, you should be doing those kind of things. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, oh, he got figured out, and then I don't think he knows what to do at this point. Because, yeah, he keeps getting folded up. Like, yeah. People are just putting all their weight down on his shoulders, and he just folds up. So,
yeah, like, Chuna Shoman, like, choked him. Like, clearly people are just like, yeah, I know what you're going to do, and you're smaller than me, and I'm just going to be able to push back.
Yeah, it's like once you're out of the Tachi Eye with him, he's, like, screwed.
Yeah.
So. But I think I'd be surprised if – I mean, he'll probably, like we were saying, maybe 16 or 17. It would be pretty steep demotion to go down to jury of one.
Yeah, and like I said, they probably just want to – because he fills seats too. Like, he's a fan favorite, and I think trying to – You could probably sneak him in there at Magashira 17 West. Maybe they open up another spot, keep him in West. Just, you know, you get people in the seats early on rather than people who start filing in probably around like a Magashira 11 or 10. When people really start getting in there, because when we went, Jurio definitely wasn't empty, but it wasn't as full as, like, you know, pretty much like the one quarter mark of the Makuuchi division when seats started to become filled for like an hour or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they keep him at 17. They just use him for seats or whatever.
Yeah. It got pretty Henka heavy too near the end of that tournament.
Yeah.
Once the leaderboard was pretty, not even just Enho, but like, I feel like there were a lot of Henkas by like day 13.
Yeah, I think people were trying to figure out, like, okay, well, I'm 7 and 7 going into day 15. I need to win, or, you know, I'm 7 and 6, and I just want to get my 8 wins now, not have to worry about tomorrow. People started doing that, but
yeah. And then the only other, like, main fight that I was going to point out was I don't know if you remember this one at all, but on day 10, Takara Fuji, there was a Monoi. It was like a really long fight, and it was really good, like just back and forth. And the Monoi was questionable, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those where they're both falling out. One person is like
all the way out,
like all the way up, but it's like stepping off of the dohyo, whereas like the other person is like already touched the dohyo. Like who is actually out in that case?
Yeah,
like that's always bothered me. Like, because I mean, if your foot's outside and below the dohyo, like,
yeah,
I feel like you, and before the other person's hand touches, like, you should lose. Like,
yeah, I wonder if it should be like if your foot breaks the plane, like where the top of the ring is, and like as soon as your foot goes past it, you're technically out. Because like that's a long, like that it could be a good baseline for them to be like, hey, if your foot breaks this, because they have enough judges around the outside that they would see like, oh, his foot technically would have hit out of bounds if there was ground here.
And you have replays too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know, but anyway, that I bring it up only because, you know, these guys usually are one and dones. You know, mm-hmm. they get in there, they kill themselves for 50, anywhere from 5 seconds to 35 seconds, and then, you know, it's over. But to have to do a Monoi and then do a refight, so like, Monoi, for those who may not know, is just like a judges conference. So if, you know, in baseball, if someone, if they can't figure out if it was a home run, if it went around the foul pole or outside the foul pole, they, you know, they come to all the umpires come together and take a look and decide what happened. So these judgings can take a pretty long time sometimes too. But yeah, it's usually right after a fight, and like one of three things can happen. It can be the correct decision with the judge who called it. It could be they reverse the judge's decision, or they have to refight if it's too close. I don't understand the refight when you have video replay in a lot of cases.
It could have been, it's kind of like when in the NFL where it's like, were you able to, so based on what the call was, were you able to overturn it or not? So maybe that's where the judging comes in, is were you able to more reasonable than not determine that the other person lost or won, so maybe they just do a redo. And
yeah, I wonder if they only have like one angle too. I'd be curious to know.
Yeah,
because yeah, in that case, like, where, you know, the perspective that I got in the replay, if they have that same one, maybe it's not the angle showing like that his foot never crossed the plane, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's why he lost. But yeah, it just sucked because it was such a good fight, and then to like have to go in and refight, and he's clearly out of gas.
Oh yeah,
like he is not, like, there is no way he's like even just getting into position. And I was like, that's a bummer, because yeah. It was such a good fight, and then just to kind of hand it over, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and I was just taking a look at Terunofuji, and obviously he won two Bashos ago and had 13 wins, and he had 8 this tournament, and then in September, and then another 13. He's technically at 34 wins. I don't think they would put him into Ozeki based on mainly because he's in Komatsubi, so he's not. I'd be interested to see how often they skip Sekiwake and put someone into Ozeki.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, actually.
Because he has 34 wins, which I think it's 32 or 33. I can never remember the damn number. But that's typically enough to get you into Ozeki, is 33 tournament wins. 33 wins over 3 tournaments is typically what it is. And he's got 34.
And he's former Ozeki, so...
Yeah. And, you know, because what's now unfortunate is he's going to have to get at least another... Because you'll look at the 8 and the 13, you'll take that together and doing math, that should be 21. He'll need at least 12 wins again in order to get into Ozeki, because he'll be Sekiwake next tournament, no problem.
Yeah, and see, this is, now we're talking about the Yokozuna thing again, it's come full circle. Had he beaten Hakuho and Kakaru for the 13 mm-hmm. and 2, I think it's almost, especially if he beat Hakuho, it's almost like you got to give him Ozeki.
Yeah,
with that win, like, or even if he had beat one of them in the previous tournaments, which they haven't been in, so like, are other wrestlers suffering because Yokozuna aren't coming in?
You know, possibly what I mean? Like, because yeah, like, because I took a, because I was interested to see how often, like, who was the last winner to just almost like to beat a full on healthy Senyaku division, like Yokozuna, Ozeki, Sekiwake, Komatsubi, like all of it. And maybe I'm just biased, but Kotoshugiku was the last one to do that. He Terunofuji was, he pulled out, but he was present for the tournament. He did end up pulling out. Mm. But like, I looked through everyone else, and it's like, you're missing either both Yokozuna, you're missing Hakuho, which is always like my one. Like, if he's out, it's automatic, like, did it really matter?
And I think that was more so like 2 or 3 years ago now. See, I'm getting to the point now where I'm just like, he's pulling out every tournament. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if his weight is pulled as much anymore, you know, in terms of like,
correct.
held to such a standard anymore.
And that's why I had mentioned earlier that when we're looking at, you know, if the Yokozuna are pretty much irrelevant at this point, we're heading into a period of time where that could be a thing. Before Hakuho and Harumafuji and Kakaru, it was only Asashoru for years, just a solo Yokozuna by himself. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he wasn't there, did it matter? It probably did. But it was only one Yokozuna, so you couldn't compare it to two. But now who is that guy when you beat that win matters? Like, is mm-hmm. Takakesho that guy? Because he's... I mean, him and Matakeyomi are the only people, I think, in the upper division right now with multiple wins.
Yeah. And do you put someone in that Yokozuna position to make that happen? Like, how much do you force mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, and that's what some people have been arguing, that where there's a lot on the line in January. It's going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, potential forced retirement of Hakuho and Kakaru, potential Takakesho promotion into Yokozuna.
Potential Terunofuji.
Terunofuji could like be going into Ozeki. Yeah, yeah, like,
yeah,
there's a lot.
Ozeki, yeah.
Yeah, January could be a great tournament to decide. I don't want to say decide the future of sumo, but there could be a lot of moving pieces that could dictate how things look going forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's going to be
Be a fun one to watch. The beginning of 2021, hopefully it's better than 2020 has been as a whole. I have liked 2020 in sumo in the fact that we have a different winner every month.
Yeah, that was the biggest problem when we first started watching. It was just Hakuho dominated, and it was boring. And then, like, every once in a while, like, I mean, again, it's every once in a while it was good when, you know, he'd lose one. And you were like, oh my God, who's the last person left? It's 14 and 1. Oh, it's like some guy, Magashira 15. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, and they're gonna make him fight him on, you know, day 13, and Hakuho smokes him, and now he's definitely gonna win. Like, it's
So.
usually how they went. But I think, yeah, 2021, that's a good way to start the year, really, I feel like.
Yeah, because it's a good foundation to be like, all right, well, do we start the year with sort of start the year with a new Yokozuna? Do we, you know, close the chap, you know, finish the chapter on Hakuho and Kakeru? Like, is that the end of the Yokozuna for them too? And then do we force Takakesho up there just so we have a Yokozuna up there? I don't know. It's so hard. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess the good thing is that we are having this conversation because that means there's potential. It could make 2021 very interesting, but I almost feel like January is do or die for Takakesho. If he doesn't win again, you start the conversation all over again come May.
Just seems so unfair to me for him. Like, you know what I mean? It's like he's proven himself a worthy Ozeki, I feel like, for a pretty long time now, when that position has been filled and unfilled like throughout the last year or so, and he's been like the only staple there, really.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, again, I don't know if that's worthy of rewarding him with Yokozuna promotion, but or if he even wants it, who knows? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm sure he wants it, but
Oh, yeah. I
like,
mean, yeah, like I said, that's one of the things when he was a child, everyone make fun of him because it was his aspiration to be a Yokozuna. It's like, dude, you're never going to be able to do it with how short he is. He's 5'3". And because I was interested to see how short he is, the two guys, there's one guy who's shorter than him and then someone who's just as equally shorter of him. And those guys were fighting in the 19 teens, 1911 and 1919. While Hakuho is 6'4", so he's about my height.
Jeez.
And then Akebano, who's actually the couple interesting facts when I was digging into this a little bit more. First Yokozuna born outside of Japan. He was from Hawaii, and he was 6'9". So, like, height seems to
It's pretty.
could play a factor because, like, Hakuho is dominant, and I think a lot of it is because he's a little bit taller than the rest of the guys that he's fighting with.
Yeah. And I wonder if, yeah, like, I'd like to see, like, Takakesho and Hakuho fight, like, 10 times. You know what I mean? Like, see him fight, like, just because I feel like, again, that Takakesho is pretty well balanced. He's very technical, but, like, Hakuho can change on a dime. That's his advantage, is that if he notices his strategy is not working, or if someone switches their strategy on him, he can just change and adapt and just smokes you like out of nowhere. So I don't know if Takakesho's definitely not faced anybody of Hakuho's caliber.
No, absolutely not.
And he I don't think he's fought Hakuho in the last year, that I can tell just
Let
at a
me look
quick
that up.
glance.
I can look that up
He fought
actually.
Hakuho in November 2019 and lost. That was the last time he fought him, from what I can tell.
Let me pull it up. I have their matches here. So he is 1-5 against Takuho. He's lost in 2017 twice, 2018 once, 2019, and then 2019 again. So yeah, he hasn't faced him in a year.
And so he, I mean, and losing to Hakuho last year, you're still probably losing to not 100% Hakuho. So yeah, I don't like. I think Terunofuji is a great matchup for him, just because that's just raw power, and he ended up losing to him.
He's got and just looking at, you know, some of the Yokozuna he might have faced. So Hakuho, he's 1-5 against. Terunofuji, he's 2-1 against. Kasino Sato, he's 3-2. Terunofuji, which I think he had beaten him both the times before day 15's first match. But he
But yeah,
is,
they did break even in that, I suppose, so.
yeah, but yeah, so he was 2-0, and then lost day 15's 2-1, and then he beat him in the playoff.
Right.
So he hasn't done too well against Yokozuna overall. Like I said, 1-5 against Hakuho, and then Fumofuji was 2-1 against.
And again, he's still super young, like you mentioned. He's like 24.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see. I'm sure Hakuho is probably the youngest Yokozuna for some reason, or maybe someone who was like forced into Kama Yokozuna way back when, but.
I'm wondering if that's also hindering his, like you were saying, just kind of his age and his actual age, not his youthfulness or his youthful fighting style, which I don't feel like is very youthful. It's very,
I don't want to say like old school. Yeah.
It's very seasoned. He fights like a veteran, I feel like. But yeah, I wonder if that's playing against him with the Sumo Association, because, you know, they don't really like fun sometimes. So,
I'm going to take make a side note, an action item. And go find the age of the youngest Yokozuna to be promoted to see if that has any factor in it. Because, that means that you're going to be a Yokozuna until you're 35. So you're going to, the next 11 years, you can never leave that rank. Mm. You get injured, you're done. Like, your career could be over at 26.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. We saw what happened with Kasumi Sato. That's like, Yokozuna time, have a few good tournaments, injury, and you don't fight anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
and Kasumi Sato was, let's see, how old is he now? He's 86, so.
Yeah, he's like
34 now.
Yeah.
So it would have been like 32 or 31 when they forced him into retirement. Oh, actually, it was only last year. Is it really only last year?
Yeah, feels like forever ago.
It'll actually be 2 years in January. So, so he was like 32 when he was forced to retire, but like, we're talking about Takakesha potentially being 24, and then it's just going to take a couple tournaments of him being injured, and then all of a sudden you're like 26 and you're retired.
What would be cool is if they ended up having, like, if Kakeru and Takaho retire, if they had like two younger Yokozuna up there and they could kind of build a reputation off of each other.
But
like, that would be kind of cool, have like a little rivalry going on at their Yokozuna rank.
Doing some of this research, there's been a couple good ones, like Hakuho and Ashishoru was a really good one. When
Hakuho and Rumafuji was great too. I loved watching them, those two fight.
Yeah, they were really good. And then going back to Akibano and like Takanohana too. I know we're not super familiar with both of those, but they were like a 90s rivalry where people are like, that's one of the best rivalries in all of sumo.
Yeah.
So I'd love to find someone, but like, I'm looking at this and I don't see anyone to even think about putting into Yokozuna, like not even turn to Fuji, like unless he like tears it up and wins like three or four tournaments in a row and he gets into Ozeki and then continues this, like he's fragile. Like it's
Tarana Fuji. Yeah. If he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
Like who knows how long he's gone for.
He had potential before the diabetes and before the leg injuries, he was terrifying.
Yeah.
Up on Ozeki, and I was like, he could be the next Yokozuna.
Again, people thought the same about Tochinoshin too when he came back, and he wasn't even back. He just suddenly surged.
Yes,
like he was just picking guys up and carrying them out the ring, and that was his strategy, and it was working every time. Mm-hmm. And then he won the Yusho, and everyone's like, holy crap, this guy's for real. And I feel like he got a premature Ozeki promotion, and then it all just kind of fell apart shortly after.
Yeah, because I don't think Tochinoshin was up there all that long. Because since we've been watching sumo, which has been about 2013, right? 2014, somewhere that maybe you a little bit longer than me.
Yeah, a little, like maybe a year or two more, but yeah.
Yeah, so we've seen Kota Shugiku, Kasino Sato, Kakeru. I don't, for some reason, remember him ever being Ozeki.
Tochinoshin?
No, Kakeru.
Oh, right. Sorry.
it might have been. Oh, it's because I started watching in 2014, so I might have just barely missed him as a Ozeki. But Guido, Tarnofuji, Takayasu, and then like, I think this is kind of when the door started happening, because since 2017, it's been Takayasu, Tochinoshin, Takakesho, Asanoyama, Shodai, and then those guys. You know, three of them are in there. Two of them are now Karuban. The other three aren't competing anymore, and for the other, they pulled out. But I don't know.
Even once Tochinoshin got to Ozeki,
he was only there for five tournaments.
Yeah, and they weren't even good showings. Mm-hmm. They were 5-2-8, pulled out. 9-6, 8-7, 0-5-10, pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
7-5 or 7-8 rather, and then then he was Ozeki Wake.
Yep.
So then got back up to Ozeki, pulled out, and then lost the next one 6-9, and then hasn't never been back up since. So he's never done well at the Ozeki rank.
Yeah, and he when he got into Ozeki, like, it was pretty ridiculous because he was 14-1, 10-5, 13-2. And then, like, immediately as soon as he hit Ozeki, it was just downhill.
Yeah, like that, I feel like, because he won the U Show in 2018, right? 2018?
Yeah, January 2018.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I just felt like that was a little premature, and people were, he got really famous really quick.
I mean,
and
that's,
I don't think Takakesho is like a flashy guy. That's the thing, too, is like Takakesho is not the kind of guy, in my opinion, that's going to feel, again, the more old school sumo fan, I feel like, would be more into Takakesho.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a flashy guy. He's not going to pick you up, carry you across the ring, and drop you.
No.
You know, he's not going to wear a pink mawashi for the ladies.
No, exactly.
But like, he's going to go in, give you a solid performance, I feel like. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know if that hurts him just like overall or what, but.
Yeah, I feel like they need to do something, because if you just have an empty Yokozuna spot, it kind of looks bad. And I don't know. I don't want them to force Takakesho in there, but I'm still looking at everybody, and I'm like, there's no – I don't see – I feel like over the last, like, 30 years, there's been a passing of the gauntlet. Like, there's been these Yokozunas who's just gone on a run, like Takanohana, Ashishoru, Hakuho. Like, there's been this, like, one dominant Yokozuna presence.
Yeah.
And we're heading into a time where there's none of that. Like, Takanohana, yeah, like I said, in the 90s. And even before then, I forget who was in the 80s. But, like, there's always been that one person who was like, I'm going to win 15 tournaments.
Yes, yeah. See, and Takakesho, I don't think, is your guy for that.
No, I don't think so
But either. I think he can hold the torch for now. Like, you know what I mean?
He can keep the torch a little warm, but he ain't.
He can give you 13, 14 wins a tournament, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe not every, like, 14 is probably a bit much for him, but he can get you 13. And yeah, you're trying to wait for somebody else to come up that's, you know, the, trying to think of, like,
the next big thing.
Well, like franchise sumo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're Mike Trout from, like, the Los Angeles Angels or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Like, something like that. Like, he's solid. Like, so if you're going for, like, a Yokozuna just to kind of have a Yokozuna, I don't feel like he's a bad choice. But, yeah. I think you also got to, but again, I'd like the idea of there being two Yokozunas to, like, build a sort of rivalry there or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, but like,
yeah, there's no candidates right now for that.
Yeah, like, you're not, like, definitely not starting next tournament, maybe, like, halfway through 2021 if Asanoyama can put something together, because his numbers were good. I mean, 10-5, 11-4, 10-5, 11-4, 12-3, 10-5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, those are really, really good numbers. And even, like, 12-3 when he won his U Show, like, he's had really, really good numbers, and it's unfortunate that they pulled out with an injury, because, like, maybe he's Yokozuna consideration, but the problem is you're not going to get both of them promoted to Yokozuna anytime soon, because one of them has to be dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have, like, Asanoyama win in January and then have Takakesho win in March and then expect both of them to, or, like, and then May and then July happen and expect a double Yokozuna promotion this year. Like,
yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
And I feel like best case scenario for Takakesho, and there's no way this happens, is that Hakuho pulls out and says, I'm done with sumo, but Kakaru sticks around. And then because Takakesho can totally take Kakaru.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of builds a little bit of a reputation off of fighting Kakaru. But if anyone's going anywhere right now, it's Kakaru is going to be gone before Hakuho, unless Hakuho chooses otherwise.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that Takakesho is also 1-4 against Kakaru. I missed that when I was going through the Yokozuna. Maybe it's just because he's been so irrelevant lately that I forgot there for a split second.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'd like you said, like, I want some rivalry. Or I want someone to, like, climb through the ranks and just dominate. Like, we didn't get to see Hakuho's rise to fame. Like, I want to see that. I want to see that guy who's just like, wow. Oh, damn. Like, that guy is a legit contender.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely is, yeah, is no one there right now that I feel, yeah, like is that caliber.
And I found something else that's very interesting to drop more knowledge. no one has ever won in Magashira has gone on to be a Yokozuna.
Really? Like, yep. So like when the Yusho is Magashira rank and then.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, yeah. So, I mean, Hakuho didn't win in Magashira?
Nope. I'm pretty sure he didn't win when he was in Magashira.
So would he just get up to like Magashira 1, do well enough, get up to the Senyaku and start winning?
Yeah, I think that's how it went. Like I said, I could be wrong. Could be a bold statement right there.
I would just be super. I mean, it's not that I don't believe you. I'd just be like, that's super surprising.
Yeah, I had a list, and maybe I'll just give it to you afterwards, and I can maybe I'll put this on our Twitter too at Super Sumo Bros. His first Yusho, he was in Ozeki 3 West when he took his first Yusho, and then it was mm-hmm. Ozeki West, and then from his fourth win on, they were all as a Yokozuna, and now he has 44. But yeah, I think it's been like I must have forgot to note this, but I'm pretty sure that's the case, that no one has ever won as a Magashira ranked wrestler has gone on to be Yokozuna.
Interesting.
It's also slim. There's like the numbers of who actually wins tournaments are pretty skewed.
Yeah.
And I had that too, and I lost those notes as well. But
losing notes.
Yeah, I had them all good to go, and then I think I did some cleanup today with a lot of my projects and lost it.
Well, but, checks out for. I would do the same. So.
Yeah, like I'm working on like a whole bunch of different things because obviously you know me, I'm a stats nerd kind of guy, so I'm always coming up with something new to look into. But yeah, so right here, Yokozuna, so since 1909, finally found it, Yokozunas have won 309 times. Ozeki's 121. Sekiwake is 29. Komatsubi, which I was very surprised by, has only won 9 times. And Magashira has won 32. So you're actually more likely to win as a Magashira than you are technically in lower Senyaku.
Oh. That's pretty interesting, actually.
And I wonder if that's because when you hit Sekiwake and Komatsubi, you finally face, like, you're facing everybody. You're facing Yokozunas and Ozeki, while Magashira, like we've seen this year, with 217s.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when the field isn't that strong.
Correct.
It's, yeah. Because, yeah, they don't have a Hakuho to throw you up against and crush your dreams.
Exactly. So,
yeah, sitting at it like a Magashira 3-6 is probably your best chance to win, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not fighting anybody in the Senyaku probably at that point.
No, and I think the highest Magashira to win, there was a Magashira 2, Kota Mitsuki back in 2001. Magashira 1, Mito Zumi. That was 1992.
So it's been years.
Yeah.
Since the Magashira 1 or 2 was one?
Yeah, the last time. So the highest ranked Magashira is that Magashira 1. I think West is what we have the highest. No, East. Actually, if you want to go Magashira 1, East of the highest non-Senyaku winner, 1945, Bishu Yama. Mm. Back then, they only had 7 matches.
Yeah. No.
Because I think it was in 1949 that they switched over to the 15-match format.
So Magashira 1 through 3 is kind of like a cursed rank.
Yeah.
You kind of want to get up to like, if you're going to do it, you might as well get like, go get up to like 4 and then go like 14-1 and get pushed up in the Senyaku.
Yeah, there's a chance maybe when you get up that high that you actually face some of the higher guys. But yeah, I mean, let me I can take this and sort. We're doing live stats right now, people.
Live stats.
So live. Yeah, Magashira East. Magashira 1 has won once, 2 twice, 3 once, 4 3 times, or no, 5 times. Like, and none of these guys have been promoted to Yokozuna. Mm. So I don't know if that says that means anything, but it's just interesting that when I was looking back and I was like, so like Asashoru didn't win one when he was a Magashira. Hakuho as dominant as he is. I think that's because there's always been that one Yokozuna to play spoiler.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's why we're seeing this year, we've had 2 Magashira 17 wins, which there hadn't been another one since 1939 was the last Magashira 17 to win. And that guy was 13-0. Like, I don't know. It was interesting when I was like, whoa, yeah, if you get lower Senyaku, you're not in a good spot to win.
Yeah, it's dicey. Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm hoping these facts are straight.
Yeah. We don't claim that these are 100% accurate, but
yeah, I'm like I said, I'm pretty sure these are as clean as they can be in terms of the numbers.
Not that I want to emulate ESPN in any way, but we need like a third guy on here just doing like fact checking. And then at the end of the show, just tell us all the things that we did wrong.
Yeah. Oh, like PTI.
Interruption. Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you were talking about Hakaho. You actually had 47 wins instead of 46. You know, little error there.
Exactly.
I'm that kind of guy who likes those really stupid stats. I want to know like how many times Hakaho won when he had his right foot as the last foot in bounds on a Sunday. Like, I want it to be so stupid that it's just like, I want to get to the bottom of it.
It brings some, especially with a sport like this, though, I feel like that obscurity brings like a lot more to the table than like something like, you know, hockey or something, just because, like, I don't know, hockey happens all the time. You know what I mean? There's games going on every, you know, during the season, there's, you know, hundreds of games, but like, there's not that many sumo matches. So I think it's more of like a solo job, you know, it's not a team effort, we'll say.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was looking through, because obviously this year was, we mentioned this, the first, there was no repeat winners. So I was trying to go back and find it like the last year. And I was like, this is awesome. I figured out the date. You know, originally I thought it was I looked at 1991, but two of the wrestlers' names were so similar that I skipped it. And then I was like, oh, like 1984. I was so definite about it. And then I saw a tweet. Someone had translated I forget what Japanese newspaper, but they were like, oh, this is the first year that you've had it since 1991. I looked back and I was like, oh yeah, that's true. So this is the first year since 1991 that there's been no repeat winners. Everyone's new. And we had a chance with Tara Nofuji being a repeat winner in the same year, not necessarily someone who's get their second boss show, but that would be interesting actually to see who's like, has there ever been a year where someone's only won their first every single tournament?
Yeah, I think, and that's, I think we should probably wrap this up soon, since I think this is like twice as long as one of our episodes. It might end up being a two-parter.
This is like an hour and 15, but yeah, we're rambling.
But but I think that's like, these kind of things are things we want to kind of go into in future episodes. Like, pick out like one of these facts and kind of drill into it and talk about that. I think that's way more, I feel like, interesting for people who may not be familiar with the sport to kind of throw, you know, toss some knowledge at them. And yeah, there's a lot of, like, again, they don't fight all that much, but there's a ton of stats that goes into the sport. And if you're a stats person, like, it's pretty good. Highly recommend. So I think we're gonna wrap this one up. Do you want to do our social media bits here, because you're way better at it than I am.
Website, supersumobrothers.com, and Twitter is supersumobros, and we're not on Instagram or anything like that yet. You also catch us on Spotify as well, at supersumobrothers on there as well, so go in there and subscribe.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.